And I'm seeing some of you have, you've been so broken and you've gone numb in certain areas, and there's pieces and fragments of your soul that have been so wounded, you know, and you feel like, imagine a full-length mirror that somebody threw a rock at, and all the pieces are there, but there's like a center hit and all these shards going out from the center, all these pieces. I looked at something like that, I said, that's me, that's my heart. God spoke to me and he said, fragmentation. And it's when you go through too much, and it's more than you can take, it's more than you can handle, and so you just start to shut down. I know I'm talking to somebody. But I want you to understand that Jesus, he has set himself, he has determined in his heart that because you didn't quit, you could have quit, you could have said, I'm not trying anymore, but you didn't. Look at you, you're still here. You're still coming. You're still trying, doing the best you know. You didn't quit and you didn't give up. And so Jesus says, I'm going to meet you right where you're at. And if I have to carry you, I'll carry you. And if I have to piece you back together, I'll piece you back together. And if I have to breathe right into you, I saw him actually breathing into someone's head. Kind of strange. Like he was breathing life to their mind and their memory, breathing life into your heart and your soul again. And I hear him saying, live again, live again. Lord, will these bones live again? Can these bones ever live again? Can they ever come to life again? Or is it too late? And the Lord, he gives us to speak life. And as we speak life, those bones start clicking and clacking, and they start forming again, and then flesh starts coming in, and bones come to life again. Jesus Christ is raising us from the dead, all really the body of Christ, but also us as individuals. So he says, I know that some of you went through devastation. Some of you went through your own personal Armageddon, where it just seemed like there was such vast devastation. You walked away going, I don't know what to do. Just please don't ever make me go through anything like that again. And you've walked away with that terrible limp that we get when we just can't carry anymore. And I saw Jesus come right alongside and put his arm around your back, just so snug, just like holding you tight, like from the side, and just walking right with you, just kind of half carrying, just walking right. And he wasn't hurrying you. It wasn't like you have to get somewhere. It was like, we'll go as slow as you can go. We'll go as fast as you want to go. I won't rush you. I won't hurry you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to build you back up because I know you can't do it, but I'm going to do it. And don't feel like you have to do it. Sometimes we have to just, this is a weird word, but sometimes we just have to let ourselves be weak and say, I can't do this. But Jesus, you said you would. And that's when he can really do what he does best. And some of you have been through too much. It's been too much for your soul to take. Humans can only take so much, right? We can only take so much. Yeah, it's true. And Jesus is coming right alongside, and he's breathing into you. Lord, will these bones live again? Yes, these bones will live again. Will this prophetic voice that was shut down, will it prophesy again? Yes, it will prophesy again, but it will be with my wind and no human wind. Lord, will this prophecy, this thing that you put in me, it was shut down. Someone was shut down from the word of prophecy. Someone was shut down from ministry. You were shut down because people just didn't get it. They didn't understand. But God says, but wait, that was my voice in you. No human can stop my voice, because when it's me, I will cry out if I have to use rocks. I will not be stopped. I will not be shortcutted. I will not be talked out of what I'm doing. I will do what I have chosen to do. And there's some of you in here, you had promises given to you. Intense promises. I'm seeing a book. I'm seeing a book. I don't know what that means, but God showed you a book, and it was the book of your life. And I saw that it went to like page 58, and then it stopped, and all the pages were blank because you gave up temporarily, you just, I can't do this anymore, and you just kind of put it away. You closed the book, and you took the pencil, and you just put it up on the shelf. I can't do this anymore, you said. But God said, it's time for us to take that book out again, because I have a lot more to write in your book. And we're going to take that book out again, and he says, I'm going to write. You're not going to write. I'm going to write. And I have much to say about you. I have much to say about you, for you were devised, you were, give me the right word, defined and designed in the heavenlies. You were defined and designed in heavenly places. And the Lord says, I'm manifesting in the earth who you were ordained to be from the heavens. And so things are going to happen to you in the earth you may not understand. Some of them will happen in the night seasons. You may lay in the bed and feel the wind coming over you. You may feel the glory cloud enter you. You may feel the presence of heaven and say, what is this? You know, why am I twitching? Or why am I, what? You may not understand. It happens, though, because the Holy Ghost is bringing to life those bones. Think how strange that must have looked. Bones coming together, clicking and a clacking. But God is joining back together what man has tried to put asunder. God is building what Satan tried but couldn't. He tried to destroy. Satan tried to wear some of you out. He tried to wear you out so much that you just felt like a puddle in the road. Like I don't have any more strength than a puddle in the road. But Jesus comes along, and when he begins to breathe on that puddle, he begins to raise it up. He begins to raise it from the dead. And I'm telling you, when Jesus raises something from the dead, everybody knows that it's God and not us. Everybody sees the glory of the living God. And when people hear the voice of God speak, even if it's through a human, they say, that's God. And they step back because they say, that is the Lord. That is the Lord. But see, that voice can only come through a vessel that has died to its own intent and purpose and yielded utterly to him. And see, God is doing a work in the body today. He's preparing a people that are destined for glory. Not everyone will come. Many will say, no, it's too hard. No, it's too hard. I don't want to go through anymore. No. But God says, will you still come? Because I'm raising up a people in this day. And I'm telling you, I will speak through them the very glory of God. And when they open their mouth, I will appear in my glory. I will manifest myself. You will see healings. You will see things change. You will prophesy unto things and they will move. Because it won't be you but me, because you'll be listening to the voice of the Spirit in the power of God. Some of you will stand on the very mountain of God in the realm of the Spirit and declare from that place the fire and the glory. You see, because that is the purpose of the body of Christ. We were not born to be mere mortals. We were born to be a mouthpiece of the living God. Not just for words, but for the living presence and glory of God, and not the cheap imitation thereof. But a glory so powerful that when people encounter it, they're just undone. They're just undone. In the Spirit, some months ago, probably a year ago, I don't know, God gave me three keys, and they were on an old ring, and they were like three skeleton keys, very old and three different sizes. And I said, Lord, what are these keys? And he took me into three barns in heaven that were unlocked. And one of them was these children, all different sizes. They were all in mangers, like remember the baby in the manger. But some were big, some were little. And I said, Lord, what are these children? He said, these are the ministries that haven't been picked up. They haven't been received into the earth realm. They weren't understood, and they weren't received, and so here they still are in heaven. And I went to the second barn, and there were all these intricate, very detailed, intricate, I can't even describe the intricacy. It was so delicate, and many, many of them, and each one was different. And he said, those are for the leaders of the body of Christ, and we're to help deliver those. And then he took me to the third barn, which was the most exciting. It was a barn, but it was full of many, many, many different waters. waterfalls, loud ones, big ones, soft ones, gentle ones, little trickling ones. And I remembered, he is the voice of many waters. And we, the body, are going to get to release the voice of God, sometimes with thunder, sometimes with gentleness, sometimes with strength, sometimes with a tiny little voice. So gentle and soft. All are the voice of God. All are the presence and the glory of God. But he's calling his body to come out of earthly living. The way we've done Christianity, it's earthly. He's calling us up and out of there to operate in a heavenly manifestation the same way Jesus did it. Not because we're important or special, but because we're his. And he wants to train us up and teach us until that becomes how we operate, until that becomes normal, where we're able to stand and just release what God is saying. But because it's him and not us, it makes a change. Because it's him and not us, it has an impact. It goes forth and it does not return void. God is raising us up. If you're one of those, say, yes, Lord. Yeah. Because we're entering into a day where strange things will happen in the earth. We will see many strange things. But don't be moved. Don't be moved by that. Because when you stay in the center of him, you're going to be just fine. I feel like he wants me to tell, you guys okay? All right. I feel like he wants me to tell of the tornado vision so you'll be prepared. Many years ago, I was with some friends and we were praying in their living room. And it was suddenly like we were caught up, and I had a vision, and we were just sitting having a little fellowship, and in this vision, we were just having tea and cakes and just having fun. We weren't even praying, we're just having fun. And suddenly I realized we were in the center of the heart of a big tornado. And it was so peaceful, and we were having fun, we didn't even know we were in a storm. You understand? And I looked down, because we were up high in this tornado, and I saw the tail spinning and going around, and it was just destroying everything it touched. So there was this storm, but remember, we were in him, and we were untouched. We barely knew there was a storm going on. And I said, Lord, what are those buildings? I saw this tail of the tornado just spinning and destroying these buildings, and when it would hit a building, it would just explode to nothing. And I said, what are those buildings? He said, that's man-made religion. So all these years later, I tell you, now is that time. Where you will see, God is telling us here and now, don't worry when you see something fall apart. Some things have to fall apart because they weren't ordained of God. Now, God still loves the people, and he still wants to redeem everyone if he can, if they will be redeemed, right? But some people will pull into pride or religion and will refuse the move of God. But don't worry about that. Listen, real persecution doesn't come from unbelievers. It comes from the church, okay? So I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to tell you, don't worry. Your job is only one thing, to stay in him. Because in him, you will have perfect peace. In him, you'll hardly know there's a storm going on because it can't touch you because you're in him. It's a place of great safety. So whether you hear wars and rumors of wars, even if terrible things happen, don't be moved. Just stay in him. Just stay right in him. Get closer. Here's your job. Get closer and closer and closer and closer to the Father's heart. Get so close to the Father's heart that it's like you become one. That's what he desires for each of us, to become so one with him that we're so in him that we can't be harmed by these things that Satan would try. See, God has tried to raise you up. You're here for a reason. God ordained for you to be here tonight. You were supposed to hear these things. These are strange things, aren't they? They're strange, aren't they? You know why they're strange? Because they're unearthly. And they're unearthly because God wants you to understand the things of heaven. Heaven is your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. But most people have never visited there, so they've never come face to glory with some of the things they're called to. So we've operated at a low level, too low a level. And God's just saying, come up higher, because I want to show you things you never dreamed of seeing. I want to show you places you haven't known existed. I want to show you my ways. I want to take you on a tour of the throne room. I want to take you on a tour of heaven. Have you ever gone behind the throne? See, there's places in heaven that God desires to show each of us. He'll show each of us different things. That's okay. And that's for a reason. Because the things he shows you have to do with your life and calling. The things he shows me have to do with my life and calling, and that's different. So I don't have to see the same way you do. You don't have to see the same things I see. God wants you so secure in who you are in him that you can become one with him. Now, there's a scripture. It says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Isn't that amazing? You might think, am I a cell in his body? Or am I so close to him that we've sort of melded together? And there is a place in relationship that God so desires for his kids to have. And he loves that because when you're there, Satan can't touch you. He can't touch you. And so instead of worrying about all the trouble and trials and asking God to fix it, just focus on going into God. Just focus on getting closer to him. Hang out with him more. Pray more. Read more. Listen more. Listen to him. All you can, listen. Go on long walks with him. Hang out with him. Take picnics with him. Just hang out with him. He's the best friend you have. Because he wants to release the secrets of heaven to you. But it's not like this great theological thing. It's like a little child, you know, going on a picnic with their dad. And he says, hey, did you ever think about this? No, I never thought about that. Well, let me teach you something. Then he teaches you the secrets of the universe, right? He wants to take you on many journeys. He wants to release to you the goods of heaven. But it's not just for you. A lot of times he'll release the goods into you. You'll house them for a while, and then when the time comes, you'll release them, and many others can receive them, right? It's called being a carrier. So sometimes you'll receive something, but many, many times it's for the body. It's for the sake of the little ones who can't hear yet or can't go into him yet or don't know how to enter the presence yet. Because, see, he loves his little lambs. And a lot of them, they're not going to, I'm telling you the truth, some of them won't make it in the days to come if an older saint doesn't help them with gentleness, okay? So God will pour, there's someone in here, I'm just seeing it in the spirit, God pours stuff into you and you're like, what do I do with this? You know, they don't want this where I go to church. That's okay. Many times you'll get a word and it's not for right now. And it'll be in you, and it just kind of simmers and stews, right? And it just rolls around, and it gets it's like a soup that's getting seasoned. You know, the soup isn't ready just when you pour the seasoning in. It has to kind of simmer for a while, and the seasonings have to work through it. And some words are like that. Some of you are a word. You are a word. You are the containment of a word from heaven, and that's your job. Your job is to be a word to the nations. Your job is to be the word to the little ones. Some of you have one word, like one statement from heaven that you can talk about for hours on end because it's your thing. It's who you are. Don't feel like, oh, I should go do this other thing. No, just do what you were born to do because you'll do it better than anybody else because it's what you were born to do. Your fingerprint is your fingerprint. Don't worry about anybody else's. I see God right now pouring things into people, releasing things. I see some stuff popping off, leaving because it can't stand. You know, sometimes the way to get rid of the devil is just to hang out in the presence because he can't stand it. He'll just go because he's like, I ain't not staying in this. Someone's memory bank is being washed, just completely washed out. You have memories that have been really terrible. There were really unkind things. And it's been a weight and a burden to you. It's been hard to carry those memories because sometimes they weigh on you and you think about them and they're too heavy. And I saw the Lord just with this pure, clear, it was the most beautiful water, almost white but clear. And he was just surging this water through your memory bank and washing away everything that happened. Washing, and I even saw a person try to hold on to it, and he's saying, let that go, because I'm going to give you something better. You can trust me. You can trust me. See, for I have set you apart. I've set you apart unto the Lord. Some of you have kicked against that because you haven't understood it. But remember, Saul, who became Paul, he didn't understand it at first, right? He didn't understand it, and so he had some problems, didn't he? But I taught him. I discipled him myself, says the Lord. I discipled him. And I made him a great apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was utterly transformed when I discipled him. And I would like to disciple you. I would like to teach you. Don't run to man, from man to man to man to man. Run to me. I will teach you. I will show you the way that you should go. I will teach you when to turn left and turn right and stop. And you say, but Lord, I don't hear well. I'll teach you how to hear. Ask me. I'll show you how to hear. I'll show you how to operate in the gifts that I've put in you. I'll show you what they mean. No one else can. No other human can help you understand your calling very well, but I can. He says, not Holly, he says, I can help you understand who you are in the earth. I can help you understand why certain things that seemed unusual happened in your life. Why did that happen, Lord? Well, it may not have been fun, but it was a preparation for something very important and very serious. Because you are carrying something. Sometimes I've had to remake you. Some of you have had to encounter things, and it's because of what you will carry for the others. It's because you are willing to carry something that others can't carry. And so you're actually a house. You're actually a house of the glory, or a house of my presence. Did I not say, know ye not, that your body is the temple of the living God? See, you're like the temple on feet. You're like a mobile Holy Ghost house, you see? And so what I want to do, he says, is I want to disciple you. Day by day, come and sit with me. 20 minutes here, an hour there. 40 minutes there, an hour and a half there. Just come and sit with me when you can. Come and sit with me, and I will teach you the way of heaven. And then I will teach you the way of heaven on earth. I will teach you how to function in the earth realm in a way that you've never heard any human say, because no human can say it. I will teach you the way that I did what I did. I'll show you how I did what I did in the earth, and I'll teach you how to do it too. I will teach you how to be led by the Spirit of God. I'll teach you how to go to the oasis of rest when you need to. I'll teach you how to drink when you need to. I'll teach you how to study. Some of you want to study, but you don't feel good at it. I'll teach you how. I'll teach you how to pray. Come and spend time at my feet, and I'll teach you all things. I delight in training up my people, and all it requires is your time. And don't say, oh, I don't think he'll do it for me. I'm talking to you. You're who I'm talking to. And so if you feel like, oh, I don't think God talks to me that way, just hide and watch. You just keep showing up in his presence saying, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but will you show me? Lord, I don't know how to do this, but will you teach me? He'll teach you. He'll teach you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until you become an expert. He'll raise you up until you have mastery in the skills of the Spirit, to where you can walk into any type of environment and release what God has and then step back. And all the time, no, it wasn't you. It was him in you. Amen. Hallelujah. How did I get to facing that way? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just wait for a minute. Kora paharike soko kiende. Indo koho shaka hasheo tani isoto kotoko. I just feel like he is releasing some of you into rest. There's a supernatural rest of God. It's a place you can go inside yourself. It's not the idea of just you stop working physically. No, it's much deeper than that. It's a place you sink down into his rest. When you meet with him, there's an oasis, and you can get to where you can live there all the time, where it doesn't really matter what's happening in the earth. It doesn't matter what's happening to you. You can live in a place of rest. Jesus desires for us to live there because it's out of rest that we function at our highest level. It's out of rest that we hear the best. It's out of rest that we commune with him in the strongest way. Because that's where he meets us, is at the oasis of his rest. Amen. So I didn't mean to kind of take over, but let's just keep waiting. And if you guys get something, just Kora kara teara toso. I'm setting you free, says the Lord. Some of you still feel like you're held back, and I saw an actual, looked like a kind of a seat belt, but it was around your waist, and you'd try to go forward, but it was like holding you back, and you were like, what? Why can't I go forward? Every time I try to go forward, this thing pulls me back, and I'm just breaking that off you. It's some word curses over you. I break every word or curse spoken against you that would hold you back from God's intention for you. I release you into your future in Jesus' name. No longer will you be held back in the road in Jesus' name. Kora sara tendo de shoko ko sitiehe. Oh, ho sola kando pregisato to shikiahai. Ondore da ta sa da ta sa. Earlier today, Janet taught us a little bit about how she went to the Mayo Clinic, and the Mayo Clinic actually said to her that, how did you say it, stored up emotions can get into your nerve, stored trauma, and it can go in your nerve memory. And I turned to Lori and I said, I didn't know they knew that. We knew that because we've seen it, and I've encountered some things in my life where God had to set me free. But I just believe that God is setting some people free in this room. That even when she said that, if you were here, you said, oh man, I think I might have a problem. Because you've had some physical manifestations, or even like may manifest as nervousness or shaking, a little bit of like twitching, shaking sometimes, like you're a little bit, sometimes your hand shakes a little bit. But whether you've had the physical manifestation, I believe God wants to wash out that any memories that you've stored up. If you're a person that has stored up your emotions, this is a little strange, but you know what God told me? He said, you have to give yourself permission. You have to give your, it's because you were told it's not okay to have emotions. You believed it's not okay. I have to be stoic. I have to be cool. I've got to have it together. I don't want anyone to know I've got an emotion, you know, because I'm too cool for that. But that will kill you, right? That's very dangerous because you start stuffing all these emotions, it's very unhealthy. And so there's some of you here that you've held things for years. There's someone here, you were violated and you have never told anybody. You know? And God wants to release you from memories. He wants to wash the trauma out of your emotions. Janet, do you have a prayer for that? Do you feel like you have a prayer for that? Koraka hashikya kasondo. Just seeing like waterfalls washing through people's physical body. And the Lord is saying, will you give yourself permission to have normal emotions and learn to process them in a healthy way? Will you give yourself permission to allow emotions? Because you know what? In my case, I can't say in anyone else's, but in my case, it really was pride. You know, because I didn't want anyone to think I wasn't, you know, didn't have it together. But I didn't have it together. And it made me sick. It made me very, very sick. And God doesn't want us to carry that stuff. So I'm just going to, Janet, unless you've got something, I'm going to do a proclamation, okay?
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Okay. So this may not be everybody, but if you feel led to say it, just to help your brothers and sisters. Say it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't want to stuff any emotions. I want to process them in a healthy way. The way Jesus did. I don't want to hurt people with my emotions either. So I'm giving myself permission to process emotions in a healthy way. Not to carry them. But Father, even if I need to release them, when I'm alone with you, help me release them in a healthy way. Teach me how to manage my emotions. Set me free in this area. In Jesus' name. And I just heard the Lord say some marriages will be healed because of that. Because what some people do is they stuff and stuff and stuff, and then one little thing sets them off. And then then it comes out in the form of rage, right? Because they've held it too long. And maybe it was somebody like, would you turn the channel? You know? because it was just too much for too long, right? And so there will be marriages healed as we learn how to communicate in a healthy, normal way. You know, because a stuffer will not confront, they won't negotiate, they won't talk it through. They'll just stuff, rage. stuff, rage. And you think, why, you know, do I have a spirit of rage? Well, actually, it's just the stuff trying to get out. And somebody like picks at the scabbard and rah, you know. And so, believe it or not, that it's not correct, but it is normal. And because stuffed emotions don't want to say stuff, do they? But once you get healed, once you get this healthy, right, and you work through this with God, work through it with him before you try working through it with people. But once you work through it with him, you're actually able to say, hey, you know, when you said that thing, that kind of bothered me. Let's talk it through. Not in anger and not to win an argument, but just to be able to understand one another, right? Because isn't that what marriage is? If you have a true marriage, you're actually on the other guy's side. You're not fighting with them. You're trying to help each other understand. But it takes emotionally whole people to do that. To say, hey, that kind of hurt my feelings when you said that. And I'm not mad at you, but I just, you know, that kind of hurt. What made you say that? And if they're not whole, you know. But if they're whole, they'll say, well, you know, maybe I didn't understand what you were going through. There can be an actual conversation, right? Believe it or not, that's normal. That's what should be normal. But a lot of us were trained, you know, some of us raised in homes where either there was just absolutely no communication unless it was in an argument. Now, I grew up in a home where if there was disagreement, there was this cold silence you could cut with a knife for 3 days every weekend. And we'd be like, just please duke it out, please, you know, because this is hard, this cold silence. It was awful. Tension, right? But they just wouldn't talk it through. And I'm not disrespecting them, I'm just saying. But other people, the only way there's communication is with yelling, screaming, and swearing. But that isn't the design of God, is it? And so God wants to bring us to a place of wholeness where we can talk things through together and really try to understand the other person's point of view and then say, okay, I think I get that, but here's why I did that. Can you? And it takes two whole people. But if you get two whole people, you can have an awesome marriage. You can have a marriage that's truly fun, truly delightful. God wants to heal marriages. I don't know why we're here, but we're here. God wants to heal our communications in our marriage. He wants to heal us until we're free enough that we don't have to defend our position unto the death. You know, prove that we were right. You know, the Bible says where there is strife, where there is strife, there's confusion and every evil work. So if we allow strife in the home, and if you allow it in, there's a great danger that it becomes normal. That it can become normal, the normal way you snipe at each other. But the problem with that is that opens the door to a spirit of confusion and every evil work. And then people say, well, how did sickness get into our home? Well, check the doors. Is there strife? Right? We can't afford it. I can't afford strife. You know, I'd rather be wrong in the argument than have strife with anybody. I'd rather just be wrong, even if I thought I was right. I'd rather be seen as wrong than have strife because I hate the devil and all his works. Right? It's not worth having anything in your home or your house, your spiritual home, your heart, your mind, body, soul, and spirit. That's your house. It's not worth it. It's not worth being right all the time, is it? It's not worth it. It's not worth an open door to the devil to be the guy that has to be right, you know, has to prove your point. It's not worth it, right? God wants to heal us so whole that even, let's say, you feel like you're more spiritual than your spouse or you feel like you know something more than they do, that you begin to think about how can I help this person become who they are to be? Come on. That's the heart of Jesus, isn't it? The heart of Jesus isn't all about me. It's how can I help this person become who they are in God, even if I'm made less. That's the heart of Jesus. That's it right there. How can I, let's talk about your pastor. Oh, don't talk about that. I'm gonna. Some of you have a, in some neighborhoods they'd say a toot, you got a toot about your pastor. Well, here's the thing. If God called you to that church, it's very likely that he called you to pray for the pastor, okay? Because if a pastor has a good heart, even if there's something he's not understanding, if he has a good heart and you pray, God will reveal it. Amen? I was in my church. I didn't know we were going here, but I feel like I have to just go with the Holy Ghost, okay? I was sitting in my church, and my pastor had preached what felt to me like the same sermon 3 times on Sunday and once on Wednesday for 2 years, and I was really getting tired of this sermon. And I did what you should never do, and I complained to the Lord, and I said, Lord, could we please have another sermon? Well, first of all, he was probably doing it because I didn't get it yet, but thought I had it. And the Lord said this to me. He said, it's your own fault you're in this boat right now. Uh-oh. I know that voice. I said, okay. He said, there are some things in his life I have assigned to you to pray through. And he said, and if you don't do it, it will not come to pass. See, here's me complaining because we had this one message 42 zillion times, but I wasn't doing my job. See, I didn't know it was my job. And so God assigned, the first job I ever had in the Spirit was to pray for my pastor for 10 years. 10 years. And so I took it seriously. I knew it was an assignment from God. So every day I would pray in the Spirit. I would pray for him. And I'm not talking about God bless my pastor, amen. I'm talking about like an hour, like in the Spirit, sometimes more. I would pray for him before I'd pray for me. And one day God said this to me. He said, if you build his building, I'll build yours. I thought, that's a good deal. For God to build your building? I'm all over that. I said, okay, that's a deal right there. I'll take that deal. I will spend my life building his building, and I thought I would do it till Jesus comes. Right? Because see, if you're willing to do a lesser job and God sees it, God says, oh, okay, I can promote you to the next job up. And that was my first job in the Spirit. And then one day God said, okay, we're done with this. We're going to do something else now. And he promoted me to the next thing. And I actually had a hard time receiving it because I thought I would do that till Jesus comes. I really did. But then he said, okay, now we're going to do something else. And he began to use me in other ways and other places. And he began to build my building. And he raised me from the dead just like he's raising some of you from the dead to carry the very presence of the Most High. Amen. But we have to take the little job if we want the big job. Some of you, I don't want to be unkind, but it's very tempting when you're young in the Lord and you have an anointing to think you're kind of a big shot. Oh, I'll just love you, but please turn that thing off. Because we're recording, and we're going to hear that on that recording. Okay, we love you, but, you know, put it to buzz or something. If we don't take the little jobs in the Spirit, he can't trust us with the big jobs. Okay? So be happy when he gives you something little to do that no one will see. You won't get an attaboy. People might even mistake it and think poorly of you because you got this low position. But it's an honor and it's a privilege, and God watches. He'll watch you for a long time. He watched me for a long time because I was getting over myself. You know, I had to get over myself, right? And he kept bringing me lower and lower till I was dead on the inside. And then he said, now I got something I can work with. Because you finally get it. You're nothing. That's right. I get it. I get it now. And when you finally get that you're nothing and he's everything, he can use you to do everything because you know that you are nothing. Did that make sense?
Yes.
It's a big, big deal to God because then you make yourself like Christ, who had all majesty, all glory, King of the universe. Think of it, he stood up, took his robe off, and said, okay, I'll go. Made himself of no reputation to be treated like dirt, to tortured, beat up, cursed out, called names, mistreated and abused, not even recognized by the very people he was sent to. And he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And if you can get that heart and say, okay, even if it costs me, I will give my life if I can do something in their lives. That's a minister. Minister means serve. That's what it means. Doesn't mean big shot, hot and dot. Doesn't mean doo-dah, you're so annoying. It's not what it means. It means you serve. That's what it means. And it means that you'll do things you don't feel like doing a lot of times because it'll help somebody that otherwise might not make it. Okay? And that's the heart. If you can get your heart converted to be like his heart, then you can walk in what he walked in. Okay? There's a lot of people in the body who think they're all that. Okay? I'm not looking at anybody because I'm sure you're not in this room. Haha, that was a joke. Little joke there. And you know you have an anointing, and you do. And I'm not saying you don't, nor am I minimizing that anointing, but I am saying that if the heart isn't converted, God can only let you go so far and no farther. Because for you to walk in what Jesus did, you got to walk in what Jesus did. Right? We want to do the works of Jesus. Heal the sick, raise the dead, hallelujah. We want to do all that stuff, but in order to do that stuff, we have to do the other stuff he did. Humbled himself, right? Became a servant. Did what he didn't want to do, to die, to bring something to the Father. And that's what he said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, that doesn't sound very fun, does it? Because the cross is a torture device. But what he's saying is, if you crucify you, I will raise you. If you will crucify some of those that drive ambition, some of you, like me, I'm guilty, you brought ambition, you're an overachiever. Oh man, I thought we were done. We're not done. I was a terrible overachiever, you know. If anybody else could do it at this level, that'd be okay, but not me. No, I had to do it to this level, right? It had to be the best. Well, you know, that's a little bit obsessive, but that's how I was, an overachiever. The problem was when I got saved, I brought that into the kingdom, and it turned into selfish ambition, right? So I had heard about the glory. I'd heard about revival, and I was like, I'm going to pray till that happens, you know, like I'm going to pray till that happens. The great me. No, I didn't really think of it that way, but I just believed if I prayed hard enough, it would happen, and guess what? It didn't. Because God wouldn't let selfish ambition come through the door. So you got to take, you know, like we like to say, take your ego out back and stab it to death. If you brought selfish ambition in, kill it. And so over time, God had told me, see, the first vision I ever had was myself on a cross dying, but I knew it wasn't physical. I knew he was saying, there's something you're going to bring forth, but you can't do it until you die. And so I said, yes, sir. I don't know all that means, but yes, sir, I'll follow you in this. And it took some years. It was dreadful. But when God came to bring it forth, it was far beyond anything I thought it would be. It was beyond my understanding, far beyond my ability, but it was him and not me, and everybody knew it was him and not me, okay? So I don't know if I'm making any sense, but some of you are called to walk in resurrection, so I'm obligated to preach the cross. You know, a lot of people want resurrection, but they won't go to the cross. And so they become a big-mouthed parrot. Have you ever heard a good parrot preaching a great sermon on the glory, but they've never gone to heaven? And you can tell, right? Because you've heard all the cliches. One brother was preaching, and everybody was all, woo! And I heard the thing, and all I heard was imitation. I heard every cliche I'd ever heard preached about the glory, but there was no power. Okay? We have plenty of parrots. We don't need any more. What we need is people who say, you know what, I don't care if it takes 30 years. I'm going to find the way to visit heaven because I want the fire from the altar. Amen. Because when you have that, people can feel it and they go, ow, okay, that burnt, right? See, I was sunburnt by a preacher who preached like her hair was on fire. She preached a message of the glory on an old-fashioned cassette tape in my car, and my face burnt with the glory, literally a sunburn, fiery burnt from the fire on a cassette tape, because she carried the presence of the Most High. See, the real fire isn't like a cheap imitation. It isn't like a great sermon that makes your emotions. See, here's the, okay, we're going to talk about plastic for a minute. Somebody can give you a fine-sounding sermon that has all the same words, but it wasn't delivered in the presence. It sounds good. It's a fine-sounding argument. And what will it trigger? Your emotions, not your spirit man. Do you see that it's the counterfeit? Listen, there's people, I don't mean to be mean, I'm just going to tell you, there are places where they've learned, hallelujah, how to do the hype when it's not there at all, hallelujah. And by the time they're done, you're on your feet and clapping because it's so exciting. But it's not God. It's counterfeit. But it gets your emotions going, and you know how long it lasts? About 5 minutes. You get in the car, it's like, what's for dinner? Pot roast. Okay. Because there was no real juice. You see? Did you see how I did that? That was not God. That was me imitating. That was me parroting a parrot. Okay? God's trying to help us to know the difference between the real presence of God and the counterfeit, between the spiritual realm and our emotions. Because we're going to have to become discerners of good and evil in the days to come. You're going to have to discern the difference between a fake message and a real one. Okay? You're going to have to discern when somebody's lips have been touched with fire or not. If they've been with Him. See, if you've been with Him, the power and the fragrance of God will be on you. And people start to say, what is that? Remember in the book of Acts, after Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead? If you read the chapters following that, people were afraid of the disciples. They kind of followed them, but with a respectful distance. They wanted to hear what they had to say, but they knew to be real careful because they knew the power and the glory of God. They knew, you know, the Holy Ghost spoke through Peter and they dropped dead. That's some power right there. That's power. And we wouldn't think God would do that, would He? You know, it's shocking. God dropped them like a sack of potatoes through Peter. And people were terrified. People were scared of Peter. But they also knew He had the healing power, because it says when He would go to temple, at the hour of prayer, people would follow Him to try to get in His shadow, because His presence would heal the sick. Come on, this is talking about who we're to be. This is talking about us, you and me. But we can't get it from just a good message. There's only one place to get it, and that's in fellowship with the King. That's in so much constant fellowship that we kind of become Him. I don't know how to describe it. He becomes part of us. He becomes part of who we are and how we talk and how we live and move and have our being. And that's what He's trying to do, is raise up a holy people who don't care about all this other stuff. All they want is Him. And they want Him so badly, they're willing to pay some price. They're willing to pay a price of time and fellowship time and ask a lot of questions and press in until you find your way. Press in until you find Him. Bumble around until you find the door. I didn't know how to do any of it, none of it. I couldn't hear God to save my life when I started. But I knew one thing. I knew that lady had encountered the glory, and I knew it was the only thing I cared about from that day on. I care about none of this junk. I didn't care about houses, lands, farms, nothing. All I wanted was Him. And I thought, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to learn the walk of the Spirit. It's the last thing I do, Lord. I don't even know what that means. But You're going to have to teach me. I'm going to spend the rest of my life finding You in the place of Your glory. Because I knew what I saw. I knew fire when I saw it. I knew that she had something and I wanted it. And I knew it was worth more than anything this earth has to offer. And I remember saying, God, I don't even know how to do that, but I'm not going to quit bugging You until I've learned. I'm going to follow after You. I'm going to bang on the doors of heaven. I'm not going away. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to come again. I'm going to come after that. I'm going to keep coming after that. And then after that, I'm going to come again. And I'm not going to go away until You bless me. I'm not going to stop bugging You until I've understood how to hear Your voice, how to speak Your will, how do things work in the kingdom. I'm still learning. I will do this for the rest of my life. It's the only thing that matters to me. And what I feel like God is saying, He's holding up the pearl of great price. And He's saying, is it worth selling everything you own and going by that field? Some people say, nope, Nope, that's too hard. Others are like, yep, I'm in. I don't care about nothing. I want that. See, and if you want that, then you can make a contract with God that he will bring you to the place of his glory. And he will fulfill your life in a way that nothing else could. It does cost everything, but there is no way to describe the joy, the delight, the benefit, the unbelievable blessing that it is to walk in that place. And I'm not even going to say I'm fully there yet, because I'm still growing, I'm still learning, I'm still pressing, and I will for the rest of my life. But I will tell you this, there's nothing like this on earth. Earth has nothing like this that will satisfy your soul in such a deep way. Like standing under a waterfall of God's presence. There's nothing else like it. It's worth everything. It's worth everything. It's worth everything. Amen? Did I scare you too much?
No.
All right. Okay. Hallelujah. Lori, you got anything you want to add? She's shaking her head. No. Janet, you got anything? I lost all track of time. Okay, go ahead.
I actually want to say that I asked the Lord what to do with all of the, you know, that you walked up in faith and put your, whatever it was that you put in that piece of paper. And I saw him come into the room and put it in a bag, and he took it. So he's got it. He's got it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Thank you.